Hi, everyone. Welcome to Mama Wears Athleisure. I am your host, Mariela DeSantiago, a first-time mom. We focus on all things mom with tips to help make life easier and more organized for all you mamas out there. Hi, everyone. So today we're going to talk about what a birth plan is with Katrina Tessier. So I am really excited for this topic because I actually didn't even know what a birth plan was. And although I know a little bit more, I feel like I'm still not as knowledgeable as maybe I could be or should be.
Thanks for having me. My name's Katrina. I'm a birth doula and childbirth educator here in Winnipeg, Canada. And doing birth plans is definitely something I work with all my clients. That's what we do. Kind of usually our first session is talk about birth plans. And so obviously I feel they are important. Sometimes people will say like, oh, don't even bother making a birth plan. There's no point in making a birth plan. It's not going to go to plan. So don't even bother making a birth plan. And I still want you to make a birth plan. So I'm going to talk about why I still want you to make a birth plan, even if it doesn't go to plan two. And it's funny, I was actually just talking with someone kind of about this actually this past week. And I like to almost think of it as like a birth menu instead of a birth plan.
I like that.
That, you know, it's like if you have a favorite restaurant and you have one thing on that menu that you're like, that's my favorite dish. That's the thing I want. I'm going to go to that restaurant. I'm going to get that one thing. It's going to be awesome. Can't wait. And then you get there and they're out of that thing. And okay, you don't have their favorite spaghetti or whatever, right? And it's going to change how you feel about that restaurant. It's going to change your experience. It's going to maybe even ruin your night if you really wanted that thing. And that's why I like to think of building a birth plan as like looking at the menu before you're going out and looking at all of your options versus just deciding that you want one thing and having those expectations behind it. That when you build a birth plan, you get to look at the full menu of options that exist in having a baby, right? Whether that's where it is, who's going to be there, how that's going to look, what coping mechanisms you want to use, all of those things are like that menu.
Okay, so before we get into what should be included, let's start off with the basics. What's a birth plan and what is the purpose of it? Because like you said, some people will say, don't even bother making one because it's nothing is going to go as planned. What's the purpose of this?
Yeah. So, you know, when we look at it, especially when we look at it as more of like that menu versus that idea of a plan, that it's helping you know, even first of all, know what your options are, right? Because some people don't even realize there's more options than an epidural, right? Like there are other even medicated pain options out there. There are other options to help with pain that aren't medicated. There's different places you can give birth. All of those things are part of that birth plan so that you like even if you are going to have a birth in the hospital with medication, with all these things, that you realize that there are other options available, that those are the options you're choosing, that there are maybe even things you can ask your doctor about if you're concerned about certain things. You're like, oh yeah, I saw that these options were available. And I think that's one of the biggest things when you're wanting to have like more of an informed birth experience where you're wanting to be part of your birth, right? Where I feel like some people are like, well, I'll just show up to the hospital, have a baby. That's it. Right? That it's like you get to have choices in that birth. And that's kind of the initial starting point of why you would want a birth plan is to recognize that, that you do have choices.
So then what should be included in this?
Yeah. So especially if you look on the internet and look up birth plans and look at all these things, you can find a very wide variety. Some of them are almost like books, like 5, 6, 7 pages of a birth plan. Some of them are just checklists. And I think the kind of most important things that you want to have, if you want to really just scale it down, like what are the things that should be there, are things like who's going to be at your birth. So even listing who your partner is, if that's your husband or boyfriend or spouse or whoever that is, having their name, having family maybe that you want there, what time you want to go to wherever it is that you're going to give birth, if it's not at your house, thinking about those options, what things you maybe want to bring with you. Different things that could be even environmental. Like, do you want certain lighting? Do you want music? Do you want touch? Do you want massage? Right? Creating kind of that full spectrum of like, what do you want that experience to look like outside of just the basics of showing up and having a baby? Right? And then thinking about things that you're comfortable with, especially if you're having a medicated birth, that you're comfortable with in a medical setting. Are there things you want to avoid? Are there things you want right away? Those things help kind of communicate and give you sort of an outline of your expectations within the birth setting, especially when you're working with staff, that it's kind of like, here is where I'm comfortable. Maybe ask me beyond these things. These are my goals, the things I want, the things I don't want. You can kind of set that so when you're actually in the throes of labor, you're not trying to explain that to somebody.
I love all that. I love that it, you know, it does kind of just lay out like what your goals are. So then what should be left out? Because again, not everything goes as planned, but what are some very clear things that are really not going to be able to fit in a birth plan?
Yeah. And I think like in theory, you could fit whatever you want in a birth plan. You could have a 10-page birth plan if you want. But I think especially when you are kind of trying to share this plan with people within your birth space, if you can keep it short and simple, that's going to help things be more likely to happen that way, right? If we come in with this 10-page birth plan and you hand that to the nurse, it's going to be like, yeah, good luck, right? But if you can have something that's really like, what is the most important things to you? And like, I can't even say that, right? I can't even say what is the most important thing to you? What is the most important thing to someone else? But I think trying to scale it down so it is the most important things to you, if that is in music, if that is medication, if that is don't have students or whatever those things are, kind of try and scale it down as much as possible to maybe the top 10 most important things in your birth versus, yeah, maybe I would like this specific snack or this specific drink, or I want this song playing when the baby comes out. Sometimes thinking of those things of like what actually really matters, what things will affect your experience as well, right? If these things don't happen or do happen, especially without consent, that you're like, I've kind of created these goals. And if those things don't happen, it may bother me. Make sure those things are communicated, kind of put those core things in your birth plan. And those are things that when you build that birth plan, you'll recognize, right? Like thinking about, even if you make a plan that's 2 pages long, what things can you take out now, right? Which things are less important to you that if those things don't happen in your birth, will be okay still, won't affect you too much, maybe won't upset you, or that you won't have to kind of decompress or process those things if they don't happen.
Hey mamas, are you someone who's 35 plus and struggled with fertility, endured a miscarriage, experienced heartbreaking fostering or adoption challenges, or were perhaps flat out told by a doctor that you will never conceive naturally, and despite the odds, eventually found your happy ending by becoming a mama? Join us as we lean in advanced maternal age topics like geriatric celebrity mamas and how they conceived, birth stories, experiencing loss, finding mom friends in your 40s, being a mompreneur, and all the things our listeners want us to share. So find us, Geriatric Mamas, on your favorite podcast platform. Tune in and send us your journey to advanced maternal age motherhood. We would love to feature your story on a future Geriatric Mamas episode. And what are, I feel like you kind of have already mentioned what some of the benefits are. Would you mind elaborating a little bit more? Like, what are the benefits to having a birth plan, not only for the mom, but for the family in this case, right? The partner and the mom.
Yeah, for sure. So some of those things too can even help the partner, right? We don't want them to feel like maybe they're answering questions for you or making you feel like you should or shouldn't do something. So when we kind of create this birth plan and go over with our partner, they can understand where you're coming from too, so that they can be a really good support person in your birth as well, right? So that they're kind of on the same page as you. Have this conversation with your doctor and midwife beforehand too, so they're on the same page with you. It kind of helps give everyone an overview of like what your expectations are in birth. And I think the other thing too is that you get to feel like you're part of it, because you should, right? Like this is something that's happening not to you, but like you are involved in it. You get to make choices. It's not just like, oh, I have a baby, whatever. I'm not part of that process, because, you know, that's when we think about things like birth trauma. People feel separated from the birth experience, that they don't feel like that they're part of it, that something is just essentially happening to them. And that can cause postpartum issues later, right? That can cause postpartum depression, anxiety, because you feel like parts of that was taken away from you. So kind of keeping you in control of that experience as much as possible.
Such a valid point that I guess a lot of people wouldn't really think about, like how certain things can affect like your postpartum if it didn't go a certain way or you were left out or whatever it may be. Are there any downsides to having a birth plan aside from the very obvious, it may not go exactly how you want it to go.
Totally. And that's kind of even to the same concept, right? Like in that postpartum, that you can feel upset that it didn't go to plan. And that's where I like to look at it as, and some people will even call it birth preferences or thinking it of that
I
menu that
like
you
that.
get to, you know, it's not so much like this is the plan and if it doesn't happen, that's terrible. It's more like creating like a roadmap, right? Like if we have to take a detour, I'm okay with this detour over this detour, right? And if we have to take another detour, okay, well, I've kind of prepared for that as well, that you're still in control, even if things do go kind of sideways. You still can make choices if, you know, you have to have an induction or you have to have a C-section. There are still things that can be in that birth plan as well that cover those things so that, again, you don't feel that disappointment because we don't want that disappointment happening either way, that you wish you prepared more or that maybe you prepared too much and you didn't get the exact perfect thing that you wanted, and now you feel disappointment as well, right? Feeling that you still get to make choices and you're in control of those choices throughout the whole process will definitely set you up for a better postpartum period.
Finally, my last question. Do you have any other tips, suggestions, or recommendations, or anything that is like super important that anyone listening should take away with them regarding a birth plan?
Yeah, I think everyone should make one. Like, just do it. Like, you know, just have fun with it. Again, don't set super hard expectations on it. But, like, I think the thing that I find a lot of times when we go through that birth plan building process is people are like, I didn't realize I could do that. I didn't realize I can ask that. I didn't realize I could wait on that, you know, or even why do we do that? Why is that on there? Right. That, like, look at it with curiosity, right? Like explore what your options are, that it doesn't have to just go like this. It doesn't have to go like how your cousins went, because that's the only birth story you've heard. You know, that we a lot of times just consume information through friends, through social media, that you're like, well, everyone I know had a baby in this fashion, so I'm just going to do it that way. That when we create a birth plan, we get to actually explore, you know, what do we actually want? What would you like to try? You know, even if it is just a, hey, I would like this to be my first option. I would like to try these things on my birth plan. And if it doesn't happen, that's cool, whatever. I know what else my options are from there. But it gives you just that ability to explore the birth process that I feel like, you know, is really a fun part of it.
Do you happen to have any links or recommended sites where somebody can go and learn a little bit more about how to create a birth plan?
Definitely. So I, on my own website, have a birth plan building ebook, which has like 40 different pages of different styles of birth plans. It has a postpartum plan. It gives you a lot of variety in what your birth plan might look like, right? Because some people like to use different styles of birth plan. So that's why I kind of put that book together to give different options on like, do you want a checklist? Do you want like a vision board like birth plan? Do you just want that postpartum birth plan to help prepare for that portion, right? Which is I think a big component of as well is that we often don't prepare enough for the postpartum period. Like, what are you going to do when you get home? Who do you want to visit? Who's going to take care of the pets? All of those things are part of that, which I find like a very useful tool. And then obviously besides my book, there is things like Pinterest, Etsy, all of those do have great options as well, kind of finding the one that you like.
Well, thank you so much. I will have all of this linked in my show notes. So for anyone listening that wants to reach out or check out your website and learn a little bit more about that ebook, they can just from show notes as well as your Instagram. So, Katrina, thank you so much. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing more about a birth plan because, like I said, I myself didn't really know very much about it. And now I feel like I know a lot more about it than I did before. But you know, you just hear so much about it, and it's kind of like you have to pick and choose like what works for you. And after having my baby, it was a birth plan didn't really apply to me because he was already born. So,
For the next one.
yes, now I know for the next one, and definitely know so many things that I will be doing different, like what you mentioned, preparing for postpartum.
Definitely. Well, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening. Tune in next week for our next episode. You can find us on Instagram for more updates and tips. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts and give us a review if you like us.